Lord God, we ask you to be with us. Be with us by your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your great love for us. For no greater love than this, than you've shown us, than anyone has shown us, that you would lay down your life for us. So take hold of me, the preacher, Lord God, and put me behind the cross of Jesus Christ. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And today's World Communion Sunday. As we said, my sermon title today is Just a Measure of Faith. Just a Measure of Faith. And a measure is said to be a number or quantity that records a directly observable value or performance, a measure. And so we, for example, we see an inch, you know, a centimeter, a pound, 4 ounces are all measures, right? And then faith is said to be a strong belief in God or in the doctrines of religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. That we believe by faith whether we have proof or not. Or faith is a complete trust or confidence in someone or in something. So we have faith and we have a measure of faith. Now, that's very important, and I remembered this morning, so I was bringing a little demonstration. I ran to get my demonstration. So you know, to show you what a measure of faith can be. Some of us have a lot of faith. Now, this is my little measuring cup, and it's broken now, but I use it so much. It's a measuring cup, and you see, I have to be measuring my stuff. Sometimes when we're eating, measuring what I'm drinking, measuring what I'm not. It's a measure, and you know, this says here, 4 ounces, half a cup, 4 ounces here. So some of us have half a cup of faith, don't we? A measure, 4 ounces. Now, a lot of little things I'm eating, they says you should get 4 ounces of veggies or something. And I put 4 ounces in, and I thought, my Lord, I'm going to die from this. Because, you know, 4 ounces of anything is like a dot. They says to put 4 ounces of broccoli, and you put 4 ounces of broccoli, and I said, I might as just eat the whole bag, right? Because a lot of it is four. They don't want you to go. And sometimes I tip it over up to 6 ounces, and I pretend that I don't see it. I'm just telling you, I know you all are perfect, and you all don't do those things. Right? But you're learning from me. So that's a measure, that's this measure of faith. And some of us, you know, our faith is at 4 ounces, you see, or 2 ounces. And then I was going to get a bigger cup, but I was running, you know, there's a few things I had to do today. So, and then this is like almost 2 cups. I didn't quite put it up. It's a little less than 2 cups. But when I'm really happy, this is the cup I'm using. Right? When I'm not even going to bother, I don't even bother with the measure. Right? But this is a 2 cup. When I fill this up, it's 2 cup. There's nothing that they allow you to eat is ever 2 cups. Do you notice that? 2 cups is a bad thing. But it's a measure, right? So some of us have faith up to 2 cups, don't we? And then I was going to get a bigger cup, but I didn't have a chance to run downstairs. And then there are those of us who have the whole thing of faith. So the scripture here today is talking about a measure of faith, whether it's going to be 1/8 or half a cup, right? Or it's going to be 2 cups. Jesus is going to be clear today for us that that's not what's important, is it? That's not what's important. We got to stop trying to glorify human beings and say, well, this person can pray like this, so they must have more faith than me. We got to stop glorifying human beings and understand that whatever faith we have, all we need is faith. It's not the amount of faith that we have. One writer says in his reflection, the size of faith. We waste so much time glorifying folks that we don't even know what they're doing in behind the scene or what they're not doing. We just have to have faith. The writer says the size of faith doesn't matter because God is the one doing the moving. God is the one doing the moving. If it is my faith that moved the mountain, then the bigger the mountain is the more faith I would need to move it. The bigger the obstacle is the more strength And so here we are in this text, we see this idea of faith. And I think folks have missed out a lot in life, missed out a lot because they have always relegated this thing. Yes, a pastor should have faith. Yes, we who are say we believe we should have faith. It doesn't mean that we have any more faith than you do. Because there are pastors who struggle with their own faith journey. Do you know? It is just jobs, a job for them that they're doing and trying to do it well. So Jesus wants to free us this morning. Free us up so we are not locked into, well, I can't pray because I don't have any enough faith. Or I can't pray for someone because your faith is stronger. Why don't you pray? Why don't you pray because you have more faith than me? So here's the text. Despite over 2,000 years separating their experience from ours, The problem, the issue has been the same. The disciples had the same issue like we had. Right? They were with Jesus. We're going to read in the text. And they would be asking the same question, right? As we look at this narrative, Jesus is headed towards Jerusalem, healing and teaching en route. He's headed towards Jerusalem. He's traveling with him. Traveling with him are disciples and apostles. And Luke always tends to distinguish between disciples and apostles. You know what's the difference between disciples and apostles? Disciples are learning, right? They are being taught. They are disciples. Apostles are doing. They're actually being taught. That's why Acts is called Acts of the Apostle. Because Jesus had gone, they were taught, and now it's the action of the apostles. They are now doing. The early church is going to be starting because the apostles were ready. They were no longer disciples, right? And I'm hoping that all of us here, at some point, we go from disciples to be apostles, right? After you've sat on the teaching and preaching and praying and singing and all of that, you are now ready for action to do great things. So the crowds gather, people seek healing, And there are people who are challenging Jesus, and we see in our passage, in this passage, it is framed last week's scripture of the when Lazarus died, and the rich man and Lazarus, and next week's scripture is going to be about the blind, about the lepers. And in the middle of it, they're going to what? Say, increase our faith. Right? In the midst of all of this, Jesus' miracles, they look at themselves of what I can't do A or B or C like Jesus, increase my faith. Right? All of this miracle is happening, and they're following. Now, is there more faith, better faith, any faith at all? That's the question. More faith, better faith, or any faith at all? When it comes to faith, we see, as when it comes to faith, that in the text, as it's translated in Greek, that it doesn't matter. Jesus suggests that size does not matter. Even a seed of faith holds tree-like potential. Even a one little seed of faith. Do you know how small a mustard seed is? A mustard seed is said to be one of the smallest seeds in the world, right? Very small mustard seed is said to be very small, and yet Jesus would say, it says a mustard seed or mustard seeds are the small round seed of various mustard plants. They are usually about 1 to 2 millimeters. That's a small little seed, right? In diameter, and they may be colored, or they may be yellowish, or they may be brown. So Jesus is here letting us know that he's not even expecting us to have a whole bunch of faith. It is who we have the faith in that is important. Right? It's who we have the faith in that is going to. Jesus' followers can live and act on the basis of whatever faith is theirs, no matter how small or significant it seems. There are people who have had great faith, and they have prayed for people with sicknesses and they die. It's happened to all of us. We have said, oh, people, that person has great faith, they could have all the faith, and they pray and they don't get an answer either. It's to show us that it's not how large our faith is. And who has the authority to measure our faith? Who on earth can measure our faith? Right? Does anybody have the authority to measure our faith? That are we measuring it based on their measuring stick? Unless everything is going well in their lives, and then we'd have to know their life, we don't have to be that concerned about how big their faith is. We might recall that the immeasurable reign of God is also compared to a mustard seed. Here we find it is a mixed conditional sentence. It is a conditional sentence we have here. The scripture says, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord replied, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed. That's the condition, right? The apostles, they're looking around, the disciples, they see Jesus doing things are happening, they can't do it, and yet they did have faith, but they wouldn't accept the fact that they had faith. So Jesus said to them, you want me to increase your faith? Brothers and sisters, because there were apostles and disciples here, if you have had faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, friends, the if clause is a simple condition, right? While the then clause suggests a contrary to the fact. So the if clause is the same. If you have faith, Marjorie, if you have faith, Joanna, if you have faith, Angelique, if you have faith in me, then you can say to your mountains, be moved, and it shall be moved. So there is a relationship between us and God, and we have got to demonstrate faith. We have got to believe that God can and that God will. Right? And so here we see the disciples struggling with their faith, but let's be reminded about the disciples. For example, though, before I get to this, mulberry trees do not routinely replant themselves in the sea or elsewhere, suggesting that that most Jesus followers had have faith even smaller than a mustard seed. Most of Jesus' followers had faith smaller than a mustard seed. Yet Jesus would use them because they would believe in him. There has been a mixture of faith between the disciples. Indeed, throughout Luke's gospel, the closest followers of Jesus reveal their own mixed level of faith. On one hand, they had left their homes and jobs and families to follow Jesus. So they must have had faith, right? They left their homes and jobs and followed Jesus. Do you remember when he called his disciples? Some got up and just left their net. Some have left their jobs, right? There are those of us who are in ministry as pastors and other folks in ministry who have got up and left jobs and all kinds of things to what? To follow Jesus. People have been appointed to places they never thought they would go. There's a lot of us that do have faith. A lot of folks have faith. Every one of you sitting in here has a measure of faith. You've been serving the Lord for a long time. You've been believing, Lord. You've been given by faith. You've been maintaining your church by faith. You've been praying to the Lord by faith. Because you believe. Somehow there is a degree of faith. Even atheists have faith. Because they believe that God, they believe in something. They believe in atheism, so they believe in something. It's a belief in something, and they have their faith in it. It has been easy. It was not easy as these disciples encountered hostility, some threat of death, problems, hardship, yet they followed Jesus because they had what? A measure of faith. They believed in Jesus. Still, they stuck around even for his final journey. Similar examples of faith are no doubt present in every congregation. You know, we see folks in our congregation. You will see folks here in this congregation. There are many folks who don't talk about their faith. There are many folks who don't, their faiths are not demonstrated. We always get caught up with those that we think are up front, that we are up front in white little gowns, little stoles, or whatever we are wearing. And you get caught up. I don't want anybody to minimize their faith in Jesus Christ or even ever compare it to my faith in Jesus Christ. To say, oh, the pastor must have all this faith. Not true. You don't know the degree of my faith. You don't know my struggles. You don't know my moments of doubt. You don't know when I'm on my knees saying, Lord, why? Why not? The focus should be on your faith. I would hope that I would be an example to say, yes, you should believe in Jesus Christ. Put your faith in him. Right? I know this idea that we think that every prayer should be a soliloquy. You know, that we should pray for hours upon hours so God should hear. It's not true. It's not true at all. One little word to the Lord. He's the mountain mover. He's the one who's going to move your mountain from here to there. We are just instruments or vessels called into ministry to do what God has called us to do. And we have found in even the early church, there were some of the greatest folks who we believed in faith. And yet we have found that they're pastors who have committed suicide. Right? That are in deep depression. What happened to them? We've seen that, right? They could minister to folks and yet still their lives are not sorted out. And so I think the first part of the journey Jesus wanted them to understand is that, come on, I don't have to increase your faith. All I want you to do is to have a little bit of faith. And in time, your faith will increase. Because you will see what God has done in your life and what God continues to do. In time, your faith will increase. Stop wasting your time depending on other people's faith. and work on your own faith. We see that in the text. Later, Jesus will chide his disciples. He said to them, you know, you have a limited trust in God. You need to trust in God. He says, if God clothes the grass, how much more will God clothe you, you of little faith? When they were not believing, he said, why are you worried about tomorrow? If God is going to clothe the grass, clothe the grass that does that we reap up and burn, how much more is God going to do for you, you of little faith? It's important. Still, we see examples of faithfulness abound in the Gospel of Luke. We see a lot of stories in the Gospel of Luke about faith. We see a group of men who took their friend who was sick and went and lowered him to a roof, right? Lower him to a roof to get to Jesus. Why? Because they had faith. Faith in believing. And Jesus would say oftentimes, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has healed you. He never once says, your 10% of faith has healed you. Or your 25% of faith has healed you. Never once have you said Jesus said that. He never says, oh, you know, you that person, you've got a lot of blessing because your 40% of faith have done it. No, your faith, your belief in me and the ability to heal you has done it. Your faith. And so we want to encourage you to understand that faith manifests itself in many ways by a variety of people. Faith is persistence in reaching out to Jesus and trusting in Jesus' power and authority. First point of faith. Faith is persistence. Right? That means when you have faith, you persist. You continue to seek God even when things don't work out. Friends, we have all had somebody that we have prayed for that passed away, haven't we? If we check, most of us have. Maybe if you haven't, I'm not talking to those who haven't. But for those of you who have prayed for someone and yet the Lord took them home, and you didn't stop praying. Many of us haven't stopped praying. We still pray. Why? Because we have faith in Jesus. Right? And if you haven't been praying into Jesus and you don't have faith, then that's fine. Right? As Paul said this morning in the text, our job is not to convince people who don't want to. Your job is just to say the word. It's up to each and every one of us, right? So we believe. Faith is persistent. Faith is responding with love to forgiveness received, not letting fear get the upper hand, and being willing to take risks that challenge the status. You know what I don't get? I hear people say they don't believe, and then they'll ask you to pray. What are they asking you to pray for? I don't get it. They'll say, I don't believe. And yet they'll say, oh, my son is sick, could you pray? And I say, who do you think I'm praying to? And what do you think I'm praying for? So if you don't believe, then don't ask me to pray. Because you have to have faith that what you're asking for will be answered, right? Faith. Faith is giving praise to God and having confidence in God's desire for us, that God would bring us through. And so we read in Romans 12:3, it says, God has given every believer a measure of faith. Every believer, every one of us who believe in Jesus Christ have a measure of faith. That's from Romans 12. If we believe in Jesus, we have a measure of faith. If we don't believe, then we don't believe. But we have to start there first. In believing in Jesus, we have a measure of faith. Faith, therefore, is for believers. Faith is for believers. We first have to believe in the one that we are praying to. And if we don't believe, then I would suggest let us not waste our time. If you don't believe, don't waste your time praying. But if you do, therefore, that measure of faith will kick in. One writer says you have the same faith as Jesus. Do you believe that? He says we have the same faith as Jesus. He didn't say the amount of faith, but we have the same faith. It is the same faith Jesus had, that he believed that he could, and he did. We too believe in him, have the same faith as he does. Only, my last point on this, only you can build your faith. Only me. Only I can build my faith. And how do we build our faith? We build our faith by reading God's word. We build that measure of faith by reading it strengthened through the word of God. We continue to seek him. And we build our faith by coming to church and singing and praying and seeking him. That's the only way we build our faith. It is not somebody else's responsibility to build our faith. And so Paul reminds young Timothy, and this is so true for all of us today. He says, keep on with that faith, as I paraphrase, because the same faith that your grandmother had, Eunice, and your mother, Lois, had, that's the same faith in you. Do you know that many of you here sitting here are here living because of faith of your loved ones, of your grandmother and mother who have prayed for you? Do you know that? There's a little song there that says, my mama prayed for me, had me on her mind, took a little time to pray for me. I'm so glad my mother prayed for me. Many of us are here because grandparents and when we were young and parents prayed for us by faith, believing that God will take care of us, believing that God will do what God promised to do. And I would like to submit to you that if I could see heaven, there are many parents that have continued to pray for their children and grandparents right now in heaven. That faith that we need to move mountains. So friends, how much faith do we need today? How much faith do we need today? Just a mustard, just a little bit of faith. Frankly, some of us don't only have 1/8 cup of faith. But does that matter to God? No. Some of us have a whole cup full. Does that matter to God? No. Some of us are working through. Some of us can barely find a. We have less than 1/8. But guess what? We just need faith as small as a mustard seed. The key is the one that we have the faith in. Right? Because if you have your faith in me, I'm going to disappoint you. Not intentionally, but I cannot certainly fulfill what you're asking for from a faith point. I may be able to make you a cup of tea. I may be able to take you out to go eat somewhere, something that we shouldn't be eating, but we could do that together. Right? Those things. But major things, it's the faith in God. When we're praying for folks, when we're praying to God. We have faith that God will move mountains.
Amen.
That's what we are praying for, that God will move the mountain that is before us. And we are asking him to move that mountain. We are asking him to heal that person. We are asking him to touch that person and turn their lives around. We are asking him to see this kid who is strung out on drugs. We are asking him to touch that person and take away the addiction. I was at a place the other day, and a lot of folks, a lot of young people addicted to drugs. And so I began to pray. I knew that I of myself could do nothing. But I asked God to touch this young man, to touch him and turn his life and take away that need and that desire for drug, because over and over again, he had been at the point of death several times. Overdose death. And I lay hands on him. I believed in the name of Jesus that God can heal him. And turn him around. Do something miraculous in his life. I don't know how true. I believe that God can do it. And I'm keeping track of him to see if it happens, just to find out if he could come through this, because the faith is in Jesus Christ to move mountains. That's a mountain for that young man. That's a mountain. He has tried and he has tried. He says, I don't want to do it, but I keep doing it. His mountain is so huge. So I'm believing in God with him that God can move that mountain. That's what faith is. Trusting in God. And all we need to have is a little bit of faith. Just a little bit. Just a mustard seed. And God will. And so like Paul said to Timothy, I say to you, do not let go of your faith. No matter how small you think it is, do not let go. Keep believing in God. We have come this far by faith, the songwriter says, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He has never failed us yet. Can't turn around. We have come this far by faith. Amen.